fire up. Okay, we're going to convene the public hearing on Senate Bill 5506 for purposes of following up on agency responses to subcommittee questions. And I think first we have Chris up. And Ben here, Ben's here, and grant application authority by Ben and Dave, I guess. What we're really doing is waiting for a quorum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Last week on Thursday, I presented the vacancy report as required by ORF 291-371 for the Oregon Department of Corrections. And there were a couple of questions that the committee had at that time that I am following up to today. First, I believe, Senator Gordley, you had asked what was the history or reasoning behind why the department had to
present. Chris, could you identify yourself?
I thought I did. Chris Capps from the Oregon Department of Corrections. I'm very sorry. It seems to run in this agency here. Anyway, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair and Senator Gordley. The reasoning behind the vacancy report requirement, we went back to the 1989 statute when the requirement was put in and looked at the staff measure summary from Senate Bill 618. And it appears that the legislature at that time was concerned about substantially increasing caseload in both the human services and the corrections area, and the ability of the agencies to provide the required services at that time if the budgeted positions were not filled. So I think it's almost, in some cases, the same reasoning as today, where there are a number of positions budgeted by the agencies and then getting a report as to, you know, why there's a 13% vacancy rate. Another question was, I believe, Senator Gordley, again, you asked what has been the monthly vacancy rate since the report was ran on 12/31/98. If you turn to page 2, you will see we kind of presented a picture for you of total number of vacancies as of 7/31/98, which was 615. For a total of 18.3% vacancy rate. Then the information presented for 12/31/98 is the same as presented to you last Thursday, and then the 3 months subsequent to that time. So that's just a quick hit on the vacancy rates for those periods there at the very bottom. And then the third question was, Senator Timms, I believe, asked, what has the experience been with the turnover rate from the east side institutions versus the west side institutions? And if you look on the back two pages, you can look at the 1997 and 1998 turnover information for the department. What I tried to do was list the top three institutions, or those three institutions on the east side, and their vacancy rates, and then the remainder down the bottom of the page are those here on the west side of the Cascades, for a little bit of a comparison, and then you can see the overall rate for the department. So that was my follow-up and what I, for those questions that you had for me last Thursday, and I'd be happy to answer any further questions.
Any questions for Ms. Couch at this particular juncture?
Sure.
Senator Tin.
Probably when you look at this, you're really not getting a true indication. Let's say 9.1 in the others, because there really haven't been any existence long enough, right? Like Snake River and those type of things as far as the turnover. And yeah, SRCI is 8.4. Eastern Oregon Correctional Institution is 6.5, which is less. That's supposedly the one we're having the problem with, right, Larry?
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. The turnover is less than the one supposedly that we've had the unions are upset about, right?
Mr. Chair, I'm sorry, I don't know who's chairing. So, Senator Timms.
Representative Maddox is chair.
You're right. Based on this, these are, of course, end of the year for 97 and end of the year for 98.
Mm.
for Eastern, the turnover has been relatively low. The Two Rivers didn't start up until the end of 98 there, so we haven't seen much of a change in regards to the staffing issues. You know, the staffing levels have remained relatively the same, would be the answer there, I believe.
I think that too might qualify. But part of the concern has been availability of vacation slots and use of overtime. So when you have fewer turnover, more senior employees, then you have people accruing higher levels of vacation. And so when they do take vacation, then it puts more pressure on the remaining staff. And that's probably part of the issue.
Thank you, Larry. Any other questions?
Apparently there are none.
Thank you.
Stand by, please.
Do you have any further comments from the Department of Administrative Services?
No, it's here.
Committee members, we'll be at ease for a couple minutes here. Which means you can turn off the record, but we'll stand by waiting for High Chair's return and the other necessary votes. DeHaan, please come forward. Introduce yourself for the record and fire away.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. For the record, I'm Benjamin DeHaan. I'm the Deputy Director of the Oregon Department of Corrections. I'm here today also to respond to a number of questions that have been surfaced throughout our presentation. I think maybe the best way to do it would be to hand it out. And then I'll just run through the highlights very, very quickly, and if you have any more detailed questions, I'll try and respond to them. And then the second issue, after the questions, I have to address the federal grant letter. Wait just a second for people to get it. Okay. One of the issues that was surfaced repeatedly through the IWP, the Inmate Work Program presentation, was the question of training for non-DOC staff. And what you have here in question one is a breakdown of the number of hours, both internal and folks who are external. And what you can see is while there is some overlap, DOC staff get 40 hours of training compared to the host agency staff of 8. What's important to note here, I think, is that we will take a close look at that. It's something that's been raised enough that it's of concern, and we're going to meet with the people who, in the other agencies who supervise work crews, and take a look at that and see if we can either put a finer point on the training, make it more consistent with DOC internal training. The next issue is the question of how many inmates have walked away from various work crews. And at the time we pulled this information together, 27 had walked away, and we had taken back into custody 24 of those 27. The three who have not been taken into custody, logically, were the last three to leave. We anticipate that we'll get them back as well. Question three, this is the issue of where of the 40 positions in the governor's revised budget, 40 work crew supervisors, where do we anticipate taking them? We talked about that on the record, although I don't think we were clear.
Can I interrupt you for a moment?
Certainly.
I don't know how many other people only got half the pages, but I actually am reading what you submitted, and I've got pages 135 and the attachments. So apparently the copy missed the back side. Oh, thank you. Does anyone else need a copy with all pages?
Same here.
Senator Boardman and Senator Timms need a copy with all pages. As long as the people present have got copies, we'll be fine. We'll enter the appropriately copied pages into the record. Said if you would please pick up again with point two, because I was looking around trying to find where my point two.
Sorry, Representative Manning. Do we have all the pages now?
Yeah, you're doing good, dude.
Well, the committee was very quiet. I was wondering why. Now I know.
Still on page one.
Okay, back on question two. The question was asked on the various work crews how many inmates have walked away, and you can see from the top of page 2 that 27 have walked away, and we've recaptured 24. And as I pointed out, the last 3 to leave have not been recaptured yet. Question 3 deals with where we anticipate reducing the work crew supervisors. And as you can see, that 8 of them were assigned to the farm. They were vacant, so those positions would go away. We have 13 positions that are in support of the parks and military departments, and at the time we wrote this, we weren't clear about the funding, the other funding that we would expect from those. In the event that no funding is available, then those positions would be removed and their responsibilities for supervising inmates would be reassigned. The third group involves the folks supervising construction over at Two Rivers, and you can see that it won't have an effect on our construction program, although you have anticipated loss of inmate work opportunities. Those also will have to be made up. And then the last group of 12 will be located throughout the department. And the idea there is that we're making a strong commitment not to reduce our compliance, and that the overall supervisory responsibility will become the responsibility of the existing security staff in the event that we can't earn the other funds for new supervisory positions. Question 4, how many crew supervisors did we have in April 1994? I'm not sure who asked that question. I think it was Representative Westland, and the short answer to that is we don't know. There is no way that we can determine how many that we had at that point. Question 5 was related to the 68 positions in package 110, and I hope in the handout that you have that you see a listing of those. This is a very technical area. It's very difficult to explain, but the bottom line is that the inmate work programs created 68 positions in the last budget, not all of which were carried through because of irregularities in the PICS procedure. And this adjustment carries them through and attributes funding to the right category. So it's sort of a technical issue, and it continues all 68 positions forward. Item 6, somebody wanted to know who supervises outside work crew. And the way that we tried to explain that was by developing 3 separate scenarios. You can read that at your leisure. To summarize, DOC supervises alone 20%. The host agencies only supervise 30%. And then both of them together, both host agencies and DOC staff, account for about 50% of the work crews that go out. Mm-hmm. Question 7, what happens if the work crew supervisor is ill? We have backup positions. Sometimes because of multiple illnesses or whatever, we can't supervise the crews, so crews are canceled, but that's an unusual event. Question 8, the subcommittee asked the percent of work crews, and we've already addressed that in any of the earlier questions. So very quickly, those were the answers, and if you have any further questions, I'll try and answer them now.
Questions for Ben? Representative X.
Thank you. We're going to be dealing with some revisions, as you know, to the proposed appropriation from the governor, as well as some budget notes, to try to keep some momentum going with the inmate work program. In terms of the positions that are authorized and funded, I'm concerned about the military department side, since the military department appropriation, which we've worked up, does not contain any special funds for prison work projects. And you mentioned that you would be moving these people into other activities. So I assume correctly that it does not mean that they would be laid off, but there would be other useful activities for them to be engaged in?
Mr. Chair, Representative Manish, that is correct.
Can I follow up?
Of course.
I'd also, although it won't be a budget, I'd encourage you to have those people work with the military department on finding some other funds that the military department may get its hands on. There's a lot of federal activity right now having to do with remedial work at federal institutions. Military institutions. And if with a little bit of creative time and energy, perhaps we could line up for some federal dollars where we could get more bang for the buck by using some inmate work crews funded by the federal government on some of these military department installations.
Chair, Representative Manager, I think that's a good suggestion. In fact, at least in part, we have a budget note that reflects the
encouragement.
Right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Chair, if I may just take one more minute of your time, I think I can dispense with the letter on the federal grant.
Yeah.
Do you want to move to that? Very quickly, we learned of an opportunity to support our work in developing outcomes for inmate programs as well as broader outcome measurement. We had a meeting with some of the federal representatives, and what we're doing here is asking for a limitation, $250,000 for federal funds in anticipation of being able to get some federal money. The $250,000 is more of a placeholder. We're not quite sure exactly what's available. This is a new area working in outcome measurement. The feds are enthusiastic about it, so we just want to leave that door open, and we anticipate towards the end of June trying to get be more definitive about exactly what the contributions will be and what the source is. So this really does open the door for the Department of Justice to contribute federal money for our efforts.
Just to clarify for the committee, so you're initially asking for authority to apply for the grant, and then if possible, other funds expenditure authority. Would these funds be going through state police or somebody else to you? Is that why you wanted to come?
No, Mr. Chair, Larry, we would expect that we would be in receipt of the money, and what we're asking for now is permission to apply for that money.
Any further questions for Mr. Dehan?
Thank you.
Thank you. Perfect.
Chair and members, I am CIA Test Department of Corrections. What I'd like to do with you to just very briefly run you through what we do have in the budget and the actions that we're taking to get us to the point where we currently are. I won't take you through each one of these items, but just to basically set in the context for you, to show you where the actions were taken from the governor's perspective, and then the additional reductions taken at basically the 4% level, if that would be okay. Okay, starting at the beginning, we have the current service level of roughly $834 million. That includes all caseload adjustments to get us to that point, and that was based on essentially the April of 1998 forecast at that point. The policy packages were really few in number for enhancements. We recognize that we consume a significant amount of resource to begin with, so we didn't put in much for enhancements, but there are a couple. The first one that you see there was really it's a $5 million package. In total, what that does is add a fund shift for work crew supervisors. That was an issue that came up during the interim, to shift some of those positions to general fund support from other funds. And it also addressed some workload increases for the Attorney General. The second one actually maintained current program levels for contracted education service and also the intake center process, and that was the $1.2 million. In total, those combined to reach the almost $3.9 million. Healthcare reimbursement was $400,000. All of those essentially maintained what we are currently doing. The one exception was just the fund shift on those work crew supervisors. The next one was an enhancement. That's preparation for supervision for sex offenders. The next enhancement there was roughly $770,000 for the offender information sentence computation unit. Then came the community grant and aid, and this was a move to the cost model, the phase-in portion there. The distribution center at $4.7 million, and I'll talk some more to these. Some of these stayed in, some of them did not, but this was our original request. The research office, we're short on evaluation and planning dollars there. We had an original request in for $250,000. And then some information system upgrades totaling $2.1 million, roughly. Capital improvement project. This one for the $871,000 and the groundwater, the next one there, are really environmental issues. There's underground tank exposure that we have, as well as asbestos removal. And the groundwater project is the one that's out at the Oregon State Penitentiary, and that is a groundwater issue. It will be an ongoing problem for us. And then finally, the debt service. That took us to the agency request budget. At the governor level, he made several changes, and I know you've seen the first one there in all your budgets. In total, it was $3.8 million. That was an addition. Bill talked to you about elimination of the operation of startup of the Women's Prison Intake Center. Construction would not allow that to be operational during this 9901 budget period, so that is debt reduction. The next one was elimination of the 40 work-through supervisors. Those were general fund positions. Then the startup at Two Rivers and the shift of some major laundry equipment to other funds. That was also a general fund reduction of also almost $1.2 million. Then elimination of the post factor and fund shift on the work crew supervisors. I briefly spoke to that. That was the first enhancement that we had asked for. The governor did not accept that and backed that out. The next one was an addition. This was the issue of conversion of the EOCI, the Eastern Oregon Correctional Institution dorm to house women. Brought those folks back, and the women are currently housed there, 160 beds in total. Then the October prison forecast change came in. This is one that every 6 months we update the budget based on whatever the forecast indicates. The major change in that one was in the community corrections grants, and that was on the base population for parole and probation supervision. Then a general fund reduction in our basic operation took us down to 2.8% for all operating issues for the Department of Corrections, left the community corrections grants issues at 3.02% inflation. The balance of that was removed. Then as for all operating units, Two Rivers hirings were delayed. PERS savings were captured because you don't have your PERS for the first 6 months. Those are removed. And there was a 15% cut in the services and supplies and capital outlay dollars. We already spoke to the 2.8% inflation. At this point, that is where the department operating budget was. And you'll see medical provider reimbursements were reduced by about $400,000. And then elimination of the one package that we had, the $800,000 improvement, that was gone. Next one, shift essentially the spending for the distribution center to an internally financed operation. What happened is that the institutions will essentially be supporting that. We'll be making that difference up by spot buys and inventory control issues. Then the governor also shifted an additional $4 million of anticipated federal money in, reduced the general fund by that amount. This is money coming in from the state criminal alien assistance program. This is one which we'll come back and report to you if that does not happen, but at this point, it looks like that should. 2 years of the buying in. Let's see, the Attorney General workload increases of $1.2 million. That was backed out at the governor level. And the next one, we can flip to the next page. The community grants here, the movement to the cost model, that funding was moved to the emergency fund that was taken out of our operating budget. The distribution center was actually reduced somewhat. From the original 4.7, we backed it down to the $3 million level. Research programs were gone. The enhancements in the information systems were eliminated. And debt service was refined. This one saved project delays for 97-99 projects. Mostly that was a refinance of what was happening with the Two Rivers Correctional Institution project. We had some savings on that refinance effort. Then there was restructure on the balance of the debt service. That's the next two issues there, all $21 million in total. And then there was a shift for the environmental projects from the general fund that had been requested to funding for certificates of participation. In total, then, we had governor's reductions, general fund only, it was $98.3 million from what we had requested.
Representative Schroeder, question. Going back near the beginning, in the request current service level, it was X, and then below that are the policy packages. But I thought you indicated, Sue, that the maintain current program levels and healthcare reimbursements are also current service level, and wondered why that wasn't in the base current service level field.
Mr. Chair and Representative, the we had some baseline exceptions that were requested, and they were not approved, so we put them in as policy packages. Okay, I'll take you down then to the governor's...
Second.
I'm sorry?
Could you give me... I'm sorry. Could you give me a little more information? I don't recollect the sex offender treatment program that well. Was that the registration thing? Or?
No, sir. Representative, this was a... It's a preparation for supervision. I think it reached back in for 60 days, and it was really preparation for what was going to be happening to them under supervision in the community, getting them to understand that there was an awareness in their behavior, getting them to accept their particular problem, if you will, and what it was that they could anticipate supervision was going to be like in the community.
Thank you.
Okay, at the 4% level, some of these are little and I won't take you through each one of them, but the $816,000 education service reduction, those were basically delays in the programs over Two Rivers and also some reduction in the summit program, that's the boot camp program. We had in there some backfill staff, which eliminates staff. The health services reductions and delays at DRCI, it also recognizes the delays over there. They had some startups, costs that were eliminated for about $700,000, and an inflationary reduction of $1.2 million. Let's see, the next significant one there is the population management action. That's $6.1 million. $3 million of that relates to the intensive management unit at the Snake River Correctional Institution, where we're going to delay one of those units, essentially the entire biennium. So the anticipation is that we won't need those particular beds. They are expensive, and if you can accommodate them elsewhere in the system, that's what we're intending to do in this management plan. The balance of that, the Two Rivers Correctional Institution beds will be delayed 1 month in coming online, and we'll be using temporary beds in other facilities in order to accommodate the population.
Yeah, Inquire. Representative Manning. Temporary beds in other facilities in the state of Oregon or outside the state?
Representative within the state of Oregon.
These are state or local government facilities?
State. The next significant ones are the 15% staffing reduction at the Two Rivers. Our director made a commitment to the assembly at the time that the Two Rivers project actually was approved, that it was constructed and part of the technology going into that institution would allow efficient operation. This is an effort to make good on that promise, and there's a 15% staffing reduction here to reflect that. The downsizing of the televideo visiting plan at Two Rivers, we had considerable in this is after we've learned some on what technology is actually available. We're going to try and do a pilot project, see how that works, and come back to you and report that rather than trying to do this at its full scale to begin with. I don't think the technology is there to do that right now. Okay. Equipment purchases shifted to construction financing. These are major things. It can actually be either bolted down or bolted to a wall or some of those things which are appropriate for certificates of participation financing. So it shifted away from immediate obligation on the general fund side. Couple of enhancements. These are new state treasurer assessments on part of our financing requirements. And the supplemental attorney general funding. And then there are some small reductions here in community corrections, hiring delays. Essentially, these are release counselors. Inspection hiring delays in Two Rivers. Every single unit took at least a month delay in simply to meet this reduction target. So you'll see that it's consistent throughout the department. Let's see. The next shift was bringing the emergency fund special appropriation for community corrections back into the operating budget. That in total was $7.7 million. It accomplishes both the additional caseload, as it was requested in the April 1999 forecast, as well as implementation of the new cost model, if you will, for 10 months of the biennium. The balance of these are rather small reductions, and I can go into them at your pleasure. I suspect you don't want to hear the details. But in summary, what we're trying to do is just give the picture of where we started from, that we have had significant general fund reductions in getting not only to the governor level, but in also trying to be workable, if you will, reaching the 4% reduction and doing it in a way that we can continue to operate and operate effectively.
Okay, Senator Gordon.
Thank you very much. The State Council, if you could go back a page to the elimination of alcohol and drug treatment services for the 320 inmates. How does that elimination fit in the total scheme of things? What's that? Was this an enhancement? And what's left in the way of treatment?
Senator, I can answer you in this way. The 320 inmates, it's alcohol and drug group treatment. So essentially either they will have to enlarge those groups to reach those numbers, or it will be simply a delay in reaching those particular individuals. I don't have right at my fingertips what is left and how many we are serving, but I have it back there and I can get that for you.
I have that.
Okay.
Mr. Schrader and Senator Gordley, this is basically not going to affect those entering treatment nor the high-need offenders. In my research on that, it has some impact on the frequency of contact some of the inmates will have. These services are not mandated by federal or state law, so they're still complying with all their general treatment guidelines. It amounts to about a 4% reduction of the general fund in this program area, which is now a little over $3 million, approximately $3.1
million. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
I wanted to make just a follow-up closing comment to what Sue did as we were under this session. I appreciate her going through this. I know it's a lot of detail, but I think it just gives you a really good picture of the fact that when the department came before in budget development, there was approximately $40 million in budget request packages. Those, in fact, most of those were not granted. Those that were granted, many of them had to be fund shifted from general fund to other funds or self-funded from within. And when you go to look at the governor's request recommended adjustments, you see approximately $98 million in reductions, which takes them essentially $58 million below their current service level. So I think that's just an important context to bear as we head into work session. And then in addition to that, coming into session, consistent with what the governor asked them to do, which is to show administrative cost reductions, and which the co-chair's budget required them to do, they came up with approximately 18 million in those, if you don't count the 7.7 million that was shifted from the E-fund to the budget for community corrections. So they have, in fact, participated heavily in the budget refinement process, distributed the ability to meet the co-chair's budget.
That's true. I want
our staff to walk me through regarding the community corrections at 7.7. I know that we've got a worksheet here. And, can you tell me what's actually happening as to what amount of money is actually going to be available to the community corrections program, and how will that be accessed by the county?
Sure. The grant, the community corrections grant funding in the budget that we're going to go over is approximately $173.5 million as recommended by the co-chairs. That amount would include baseline funding for all existing caseloads based on the funding formula that was established in special session in 1995 and would roll that continued funding level forward into 1999-01. The co-chair's budget provides for approximately $2.1 million of that 7.7 to be added in for increased caseload that came out as a result of the April 1999 forecast. Those funds are available to the counties in grant block grant fashion. I believe they're provided on a quarterly basis and have been since 1997.
Sure. Go ahead. Just following on those numbers, that means there's approximately $3.5 to $4 million that is not going to be made available to the block grant as those previously requested.
Of the 7.7, 2.1 would be available. That would leave the 5.6. As we'll go over in work session, that's not included in the co-chair's recommended budget. And that's the amount that would be necessary to move the counties to an actual cost-based baseline funding formula in the last 10 months of this funding.
That's true. If I can follow up on that. Go ahead. Going back to the special session of 96, was there or was there not a requirement on the stage part to fund at the actual level that was necessary for those individuals that are within that 1145 population?
The agreement in statute, the statute deals with the state's obligation to maintain a current service level budget and to adjust that on a biannual basis based on the appropriation provided to the Department of Corrections as approved by the legislature. And that current service level budget is to increase based on all the other factors that are considered as a part of any other state budget for current service level, which is caseload changes, inflationary allowances, adjustments for phase-ins, phase-outs, one-time costs. So consistent with that language, which is in statute, the budget has been advanced in that manner. The law did provide for the department to gather actual cost information and to provide that information so it could be factored in to the baseline funding formula. And when we get to work session, Co-Chair Lewis wants to be here to talk about the policy decisions and the co-chair's budget and the placement of that, and I think it's probably good to talk about that at that time.
Sure. I know we're going to do a work session. I'm hoping to be giving testimony an hour ago in another committee. Do you know when we're going to have our work session?
As soon as Chair Westcombe returns, we are prepared to do that.
Okay.
And we have a quorum.
Just comment is I haven't had a chance to really digest the information is the only issue from my standpoint. And it looks like a lot of very good work, a big budget, and probably fine, but I might be excited about discussing it, but I'd like to know the sense when the chair gets back. What the committee is, if you have to move ahead totally today, or not, since we're working it through a little bit tomorrow. So can I ask the other follow-up question? You indicate a lot of the policy packages did not remain. Can you have at your fingertips those that are still in the budget and think those off real quick?
Sure. Essentially, the policy packages that are in the budget relate to the operation of the distribution center. That was self-funded from a transfer of funds. A little over $3 million was transferred from the institution's budget to fund that. in central support operations. That is one of the packages. The other package in the governor's rec budget is the offender sentencing and computation unit, which is about $776,000. And the only other package that I'm aware of, there's two others, a package that will increase the amount of funds available for the contract at the intake center, Oregon Correctional Intake Center, is about $1.2 million. I believe that's also listed in the package there.
Where would that be?
It's policy package 130 under institutions. I don't see that on her list.
That's called the Nazi word.
Okay. Yeah, it's under institutions only. Okay. Yeah, under policy packages. And the third one, the last area that I'm aware of that is funded is the debt service, which would be the bottom package there listed. So the amount has been adjusted, but that package is also. So that's really
just the four.
Just those are the only ones that I'm aware of that are that were removed.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we get Kevin back in here. He can. He's just out in the hall. Yeah. Any further questions for the department? If not, we'll end the public hearing and convene the work session on Senate Bill 5506. And we will hear from staff.
Okay. I have placed before you the work session papers. I think they're in the order that we'll probably go through them, just so that I can familiarize yourself a little bit with them. There is a two-page spreadsheet that's got a department-wide adjustment. Looks like this. We'll walk through that one here in a few minutes. Also, for later discussion, there's a cover memo that deals with the actual appropriation bill adjustments and the recommended allocation to the emergency fund. There's also a separate list that shows potential budget notes. Those are forms you've probably seen in the past. And then also there's about a 20-page handout that has got the detailed budget analysis work and recommendations that should be on the bottom of the stack. With one exception, I guess Representative Lewis wanted to be here for part of the work session. I'll have to get her in a few minutes. But,
we're okay.
Just in the way of just sort of review and reminder, we had nine days of public hearings on this budget. In that opening day, I think I made comments about four major policy issues that we'll have to discuss today in work session that affect this budget. Obviously, prison siting, the capital construction plans. The capital construction plans would be a part of a separate bill, 5527, but it would be consistent with previous practice to have this committee at least give a recommendation for what they'd like that committee to do with that capital construction plan, community correction grants, and inmate work program funding. Staff have been working with subcommittee chairs as well as the co-chairs in review of the budget in detail, and going over the budget proposals, the staffing patterns, the steps taken to get to the revised governor's budget. In consideration of that, I presented to you the budget that is consistent with the co-chair's budget. In total, it is approximately $7.6 million below the governor's revised budget in general funds, approximately $4.8 million other funds below the governor's revised budget, and recommends allocation of approximately $1.2 million to the emergency fund, and it also represents about a 51 FTE reduction from the governor's revised budget. To start going over with you, at least on the department-wide basis, I'd like to turn your attention to this sheet right here, that's the department-wide summary. The top three lines give you the initial governor's printed budget total, which is you'll note there it had $776 million with another $707.7 million in emergency fund reserve for community corrections for a total of $783.9 million. The leadership reduction target was approximately 3.6% general fund, about $18.7 million. on this. That's the department described what they came up with, which was essentially called the 4% reductions. And their total is about five lines down. It's about $18.5 million. So you can see from the amount of funds difference there that it was relatively minimal. The department provided approximately 3.56% in reductions to meet that total shares target. The additional adjustments based on the leadership budget requirements are the Community Corrections baseline funding enhancements. That the $5.6 million that is in the governor's rec budget, part of the 7.7 we discussed earlier, is not included. And if necessary, Representative Lewis will come in and talk to that issue in greater detail. The other package that was included initially in the co-chair's budget is the offender sentencing computation unit. However, as we'll go through this, you'll see that through other reductions that have been able to be identified, that funding for that unit can be restored. The department, as I mentioned, came up with approximately $18.5 million in reduction. The difference between the leadership budget and what the department has provided and the governor's revised is approximately $6.6 million. That leads me down to the LFO and the co-chair's recommended additional adjustments to the budget for general fund. Approximately $1.2 million is recommended to be set aside in the E-Fund. This relates to the operating costs associated with the last three units of the Two Rivers Correctional Institution in Umatilla. Those are phasing in this biennium. And this fund, this would allow for those funds to be set aside in the E-Fund, and then when subsequent forecasts and population management plans are developed, the department can access those funds. There is some tentative nature to the need for those, and this just allows that money to be available for other use if it's not necessary on or before November of 2000. So it's available for the department's exclusive use up until that time. There is a $1 million inflationary allowance reduction. As the department walked through, there were various other inflationary reduction allowances that were included in the governor's revised. This leaves approximately $1.2 million in the institution's budget for inflation, and an additional $303,000 remains in the budget in the administration budget unit. So approximately $1.5 million remains even after this has been reduced.
Representative Schrader, what percent would that be?
Approximately $1.5 million in what ultimately we'll get down to, which is of a $756 million budget.
Mr. Chair, this is extraordinary inflation. This is already inflation built into the CSL, right?
This is inflation that was a part of the CSL budget development. 2.8% for standard inflation, 3.02 for programs and services, 3.7 I think was close to contract services, or 3.07, and then there was some in there for medical inflation. So this is of the inflation that was put into the budget, leaves about $1.5 million. The next,
any further questions?
The only other part of the budget, there is a part of the budget that has not been, the inflation has not been reduced on, I failed to mention that, and there is approximately $5.1 million in inflation within the Community Corrections Grant Program that has not been reduced during any of these reductions. So that part is remaining in there as well. The next one item, administration and debt, is the budget unit that it's in. Approximately $1 million has been able to be reduced based on revisions to the sale dates and the amount of COP sale dates associated with pre-construction activities, capital construction expenditure limitation for Site 1, and the expansions of existing facilities. So that's basically an updated and actual cost-based adjustment. And of course, then the last reduction there is $5.6 million, which in effect maintains the existing baseline funding formula that has been in place since special session in 1996. That is to say that amount of funding for that program has increased based on caseloads and inflationary allowances only. For a total of approximately $8.8 million in general fund reductions, of which like I said, 1.2 of that is set aside in the E-Fund. Any questions on the general fund reductions?
Seeing none, please proceed.
Okay. If you turn to the second page, this page provides you with a summary of the other fund and federal fund adjustments, of which there are no federal fund adjustments recommended at this time. In the other fund budget, I've took the opportunity to both to give you limitation information, both as it relates to the budget bill and the capital construction bill. The LFO recommended changes to the other fund expenditure limitation are listed there about a quarter of the way down the page. The inmate work program, there is a budget enhancement in the parks budget that may allow for additional services, additional ability to purchase product services and inmate work crews. The department's going to work on a plan to do that, and you'll see in a few minutes a budget note that will direct them to come back to the emergency board on that work plan. But the revenue enhancement provided to the parks budget could supplement the amount available for work crews to the tune of $1 million. Similar commitment was received from the Department of Forestry for the use of inmate work and labor, and that is reflected there with a $552,000 other funds expenditure limitation increase. Below that are four adjustments, two of which also relate to the inmate work program. They have one of the other funded packages was to deal with a mobile work camp that was assumed at the time of budget development to operate 24 months. And further research and updating that, it's actually more likely to be operational for approximately 6 months in this first biennium. So this reflects both a position reduction as well as an expenditure limitation reduction to reflect what they actually contemplate doing in this next biennium. The inmate work program also had, in review of expenditure patterns and available revenue, had approximately $2.9 million in expenditure limitation that, based on expenditure patterns, was not necessary, and that this is not to have any effect on the program. These are adjustments that are consistent with their level of activity they currently have in the industry, considering all program areas. And the last one is a COP financing cost adjustment. In the process of revising the sale dates and amounts, the finance costs will reduce.
Representative Mann.
The $2.9 million-plus expenditure pattern reductions, you said that this will not impact the capability to carry on the program. What kind of a, we're talking about almost $3 million. Does this have to do with administration?
It was in several areas. The department had set itself up, for instance, to have an on-site work camp at TRCI that never really materialized, and so that limitation was carried forward. It was just basically limitation that had not come back to be reflective of the expenditure levels that they have in various areas. I've got more detail probably I can give you on that. But it was, in total, looking at the entire picture, where do you need the limitation? Where is it now? Where would it best be utilized? And what would more reflect your likely activity?
Should they, if I may, should they find other opportunities, they can always come to the board for authorization.
That's correct, and they have a significant portion of their budget is in non-limited aspects or industries and raw material purchases as it is, so they can come to the e-board, and the department does do that periodically during the interim to adjust.
Thank you.
The last one is delayed pre-construction activities. In the process of the department revising its population management plan for this biennium, several of the pre-construction teams activities were delayed. And as a result of that, approximately $1.7 million in expenditures were delayed. They have a plans for teams to be on the ground in Madras, and the team at Minnesota will transfer to Lakeview for activities, and the activities at Junction City, and I believe Jackson County, will be reduced, if not eliminated, in this biennium based on revised population management plan.
Question here. Assuming a hypothetical, which is the hypothetical siting of a prison facility somewhere else, are we going to need to make accommodations for pre-construction teams there?
Chair Wessler and Representative Mannix, if the department were directed to significantly alter the population management plan and direct construction of a facility in a different area, yes.
I may follow up. However, we've included in this appropriation, I assume, the assumption that the damaged facility is proceeding, because that is presently what is on the books.
Chair Westland, Representative Mannix. The presumption in the budget as it's being recommended to you is that the either a facility will either be built at the damaged site or the Bay Road site or some site that is comparably priced, but at this point the debt service essentially, the debt service costs for either damaged or Bay Road are essentially the same.
Thank you. It attaches to a price range, not a specific location.
So a total of $4.8 million reduction in other funds expenditure limitation is identified there. In relationship to the department itself, the capital construction budget is asking for a new capital construction expenditure limitation, for new projects of $21 million, consistent with changes in the pre-construction activities and community development activities. Another $4.9 million in reductions were identified for that particular bill that will be a subject of that when that comes to another committee. 9597 is a supplemental expenditure limitation request. This relates to the Women's Prison Intake Center as well as some Central 1145 projects. The amount that's being recommended to the committee for capital construction expenditure limitation is approximately $171.7 million. This is about $10 million below what the department's early projections were for building a facility, either damaged or Bay Road. This is based on information they have now, and they're considering doing their cost analysis where they show they can do some things at less cost. And this is also in recognition of discussions over what necessary enhancements they might need to make for infrastructure.
Chair.
I assume we're going to continue on this little area. I'd like to have some comments to the placeholders for Lincoln County and Klamath County.
Okay. Chair Weston, Representative Pazansky, when the Senate 1145 passed, there was a time period for which counties could apply for funding for facilities, and that time frame was by the end of this month. And all most of the counties participated in that. There were three exceptions, Klamath, Lincoln, and I believe Weaver County. And so these are two of the three counties that did not participate at that time, but were given an extension of time to develop a plan for 1145 facility. So they have preliminary plans and met the deadline. Now they're in the process of refining those plans with the department, at which point they could qualify for capital construction expenditure limitation, wherein the state would finance the facilities of the other 1145 facilities. At this point, the early estimate is that these are a little bit less than $4 and $5 million between the two facilities to construct beds that reflect their responsibility under the 1145.
And follow up, and what an impact, I guess, once Co-Chair Lewis is here, maybe she can go over to if they come online and do participate. Will they have any impact on the community corrections baseline funding enhancement?
Chair Wilson and Representative Pazansky, they are already receiving operating costs consistent with their case load for Senate Bill 1145. What this does is it provides the state-funded facilities and debt service payments for that, so they're already in that grant program. The total, when you look at all of these other fund expenditure limitation adjustments, is approximately $11.6 million reduction between both the debt service, between the capital construction bill and the budget bill. Questions on those adjustments? It would be appropriate to probably do that now and have Chair Lewis come in if you want to have her in to talk about 1145, but once we go to budget notes, we'll be away from that.
It's not a budget note.
Not really. Okay. We could cover all of them except that one. And go to Lisa.
Yes.
Okay. to facilitate getting us a little bit farther, so we take a brief recess. I could turn your attention to the budget notes, the recommended budget notes for the Department of Corrections. In total, there are 12, and based on the need to do some additional discussion on the first one, if I could skip to the second one for you, under institutions. As you recall, during public testimony, and you received the document from Representative Patridge, and probably a response document also from the department relating to hot bunking. What this budget note does is it directs the department to study the feasibility of a hot bunking pilot and, if feasible, develop a business plan, an operational budget, and develop any necessary legislation for implementation and report that back to the closing means. Hope that that's consistent with carrying out what you'd hope. The under correctional programs, there are two actually budget notes that have come to staff's attention. One is the first one relates to the department's process by which it is currently in contract with community colleges for a majority of its correctional program services. This is just a directive to basically provide additional structure to those contracts so that we have a better handle on the number of inmates we're going to serve, the amount of funds that we're providing, anticipated outcomes, and hopefully some greater accountability for what we get for the state dollars. Second one is the agreed upon language that the department has worked with Senator Timms and also members of the lobby in addressing their concerns that surround the department's management of hepatitis C virus, and it also requires a report back to the legislature, as well as an interim report to the emergency board and probably an interim judiciary committee, if one is formed, to receive that report by December 15th. Inmate work programs, there are three recommended budget notes for that area. The department has provided a testimony of intent to maintain overall compliance in spite of the 40 worker supervisor reduction, and all this is essentially on behalf of the committee speaking your desire to have them maintain that both at median and minimum custody facilities. Secondly, this is a concern that came to staff's attention from Representative Mannix, and this is that for the last several biennia, the department, even after passage of Measure 17, has not been successful in being able to get inmates in the EOCI area able to work outside the fence. And this is just a directive to encourage the department to continue to pursue letters of agreement with the city of Pendleton that would allow them to get greater utilization of the inmates in the EOCI. They have probably the highest idleness rate of any of the institutions. And lastly, this is a budget note that has corresponding budget note in the Natural Resource Agency budgets, which is basically encouraging several agencies, many listed there by name, as well as others who aren't listed, to develop a work plan for the utilization of inmates and inmate labor in 9901 and to present that work plan to the emergency board no later than November 1999. And also to report back next session on the progress made. There is a hope that there will be increased ability to utilize inmates within existing funds, and hopefully this will provide the encouragement for them to find ways to do that.
Sure. Representative Schrader, back on the Pendleton one, what was the emphasis on that one again?
Sure, Weston, Representative Schrader, the department had entered into an interagency, actually intergovernmental agreement with the city of Pendleton at the time that that facility was retrofit from a state institution to a mental institution to a prison, that they would only allow inmates out on for a couple of exceptions, medical leave and I think transfers from one institution to another. It was very restricted. They couldn't work inmates outside the fence.
If I may. That agreement was made in the 80s, I recall, before 17 was even a matter of argument. But since that is an intergovernmental agreement, it's in place, and apparently we need to honor it unless we can get it modified. So this asks the department to work at that. That's what we do, is see if there's a joint agreement to modify it.
The in the information systems and services area, there are two budget notes. One relates to in doing a review of the budget and having been there for a few years, you can see where, say, new institutions are able to have resources that are adequate to staff up and, if you will, maintain services. However, there seems to be a little bit of disparity between some institutions that have and have not. And this is just a directive just to have the department review existing resources, look at those institutions that are new and those that have been in operation for some time, and just reallocate resources based on overall needs. We tend to look at things in blocks and evaluate positions by location. This is an opportunity for them to look beyond location, meet the overall system needs. Second one is consistent with what we put into the state police budget as well as the youth authority budget, and I believe the judicial department's budget. This relates to information management technology. You've probably seen that one. Probably almost haven't memorized. Central support operations. In early on in session, when the committee was looking at collections and the ability of the department to collect on unitary assessments, fines, fees, and bail forfeitures, it came to the committee's attention that there was some additional work that needed to be done to close the system so that when there are outstanding fines, fees, and collections on inmates that come into the custody of the Department of Corrections, that there is an effort to pursue collection on those by the Department of by the Judicial Department, the Department of Revenue. This is just a directive for them to complete that work, hopefully enhance some of the collections that are made. And the second one is, this is also corresponding to a budget that you put in the Youth Authority budget, which is to see what efficiencies and operational savings can be achieved by combining food storage purchase and distribution methods with the Department of Corrections, since they have a distribution center. And lastly, the Capital Planning Commission budget note at the end. I believe this is a budget note that's also been approved for placement in the DHR budget as well as the Youth Authority budget. And if there's any managers here, you could speak to some of the rationale behind it. But it is essentially, according to the Department of Administrative Services, is consistent with how they plan to operate when they are involved specifically in land purchases and transfers.
Any questions on the budget notes we've read?
Mr. Chair.
Today. Senator Gordon.
Thank you. Larry, going to the top of the page, and the report that would be due to the Emergency Board in November of 1999, am I to read that report as the work plan, or is that report something else?
It is to report on the development of the work plan. What we're trying to get the agencies involved to develop is some predictability for the Department of Corrections. They have a number of other funded work crew supervisor positions, but they're unable to have a filled and ready to go to work position unless they have some commitment and some ability to predict the workload demands. And so this is a work plan that would need to be defined in such a manner that it allows the department to do resource allocation and planning. And so it is a work plan. It would also be an opportunity for those agencies, if they don't already have adequate of the funds expenditure limitations, for them to secure that as well.
Just might want to be more specific with the word. It says report.
Okay.
Which is not the same as work plan.
Okay. Yeah, development of a okay. That would be intent.
Mm-hmm, I thought so.
A good clarification, Senator. Okay, you want to flip back to the first one?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to take a slight recess. Don't anybody leave. Sure. I'll just go to the committee.
And we will reconvene the work session on Senate Bill 5506 and go into the budget notes regarding staffing and institutions.
Yes, committee members, the very first budget note that I skipped over initially because there were some amendments to that being drafted, I wanted to go back to that and talk about it if I could. Very first one under institutions. This budget note is directing the department to implement a new post-release system in the first of the year, and this is the initial part of this is to address the department to use that system to evaluate the ways that it's utilizing staff and to address some of the concerns stated in testimony on a department-wide basis, basically to make sure that we're getting the most cost-efficient use of staff, that there are adequate vacation leave and time slots available to address some of the concerns that were provided to the committee, and also the appropriate number of release management positions, and also to address the security concerns that come out of that. And then to provide a mid-biennium status report. The amendment to that, I will read this to you, has been drafted. Furthermore, regarding staffing levels at EOCI, it is the committee is concerned that the facility may be currently understaffed. The subcommittee directs the agency to solve the overtime and vacation time issues. Double shifts shall not be required except in emergency situations. The agency shall report its staffing solutions and its progress on those solutions by the September 1999 e-board. So this is the part of this budget note that will be specifically addressing EOCI staffing.
Sure.
Representative Mann.
I have no problem with the concept of the budget note. I'm just wondering why we limit it to EOCI, since my perception was that we're at least pushing up against these problems at other institutions as well.
I believe that's an accurate observation, and I believe the first half of that budget note is a system-wide.
Could that be read again? Maybe I didn't focus.
The subcommittee.
You mean the hand across one?
No.
Everything's matured on there.
Yeah, you got that right here. But I can, subcommittee directs department to reevaluate its post-release budgeting immediately following implementation of the new staff deployment system. The purpose of this evaluation is to identify ways to utilize staff in the most cost-efficient manner, ensure the adequate vacation/leave time slots are available at each institution, ensure that the appropriate number of relief management positions exist, and to address any security issues related to current staffing levels. The department is to provide a mid-biennium report on the results of the evaluation to the emergency board. A special note regarding EOCI is because we feel that's an exacerbated situation, one that requires most immediate attention.
All right.
So we're trying to do a system-wide approach and at the same time give a gentle push at EOCI.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other additional comments on...
I have one more budget note. Representative Schrader, thank you for bringing it to my attention. When we talked through the capital construction issues, there was an overall policy statement that this committee wanted to have reflected in the budget report, and it had to do with the biennial review of policy issues surrounding the prison construction program. And let me just read what we have hand-edited here. The subcommittee directed the agency to... biennially review policy issues surrounding the prison construction program and report to the legislature so it can deliberately confirm or modify prior policy directions. This will allow policymakers to respond in a timely manner to lessons learned, changes in prison population management strategies, outcomes research and audit findings, construction and technological advances, and forecast changes as they relate to safety, security, and cost effectiveness. So that basically is to bring forward some of the work you did earlier as it relates to providing for a biennial review process on those issues.
Any questions on that particular budget note? Yeah. Yeah. And then back to the
The only other outstanding piece that I think relates to the work session that as we talked about it is the department did present to you a request for authority to apply for a grant. Under ideal circumstances, they would have provided me as well as staff advanced copies of that information on that grant report so I could have given you additional background information and could have reviewed it. Based on what you were told, if your comfort level is there, I'm comfortable with giving them authority to apply, knowing that they will come back to the e-board for any subsequent expenditure authority. But that was an abbreviated version of what we would normally do for the committee.
Correct. Mr. Chairman, Representative Manning, are you ready for a motion on the budget notes?
I certainly am.
I move that we adopt and recommend the budget notes.
Any discussion? Any objection? So moved.
Do you want a further motion on the LFO recommendations? Do you want to get rolling? Or
let's roll and let's get into discussion on this.
Well, I'll have to make a motion, Mr. Chairman, if I may. I move that we adopt the LFO recommendations as to the appropriations for the Corrections Department.
Any discussion?
Mr. Chair?
I think. Senator Boardman.
Well, thank you very much. I'd like to have some more clarification on what we're doing through this budget for Community Corrections and 1145. It's my understanding that this budget does not contain adequate funding to cover our responsibilities in that arena. So could I hear again, just for the record, exactly what this budget does not accomplish under 1145?
Well, it doesn't accomplish several things. Let's first just dwell for a moment on what it does accomplish. At least the inflation and the caseload growth is included in this budget. What it does not accomplish, and I think what the co-chairs and the governor's office want to have is a separate discussion, is what is left yet to fill in the 1145, which is approximately $5.6 million. I think it's the co-chair's intent to address that issue, but at the same time, they don't see a reason to hold up the entire corrections budget over that issue.
And so when you say it's the co-chair's intent to address the issue, what does that mean?
Well, I think that this issue will be addressed one way or another. I don't want to put words in the governor's office's mouth, but I think they view this as an incomplete budget without it.
Mm-hmm.
And yet at the same time, the co-chairs want to have that conversation with the governor and not hold the entire budget up.
Well, you know, I will move forward with you, Mr. Chair, but I am doing that in a very uncomfortable way. I was here in 1996 for the special session when we enacted 1145, and ever since then we have failed to adequately respond to the messages that we're receiving from the counties about what the actual needs are out there. And so here we are at a time and place where we're ready to move a budget, and again, this need has not been adequately addressed, in my view. But again, I'll move with you this afternoon, but I am anxiously awaiting to hear from the co-chairs on what their intent is regarding this 5.6.
Yeah. Well, I think the process, I appreciate very much your comments, Senator. And I think it's fairly widely known and appreciated in this building that it's 16-31-1. So I think there is still quite a bit of negotiation yet to do on this. Representative Mannix.
And if I may, I'd like to add that in response to Senator Gordley's concern, we do have a bill in Ways and Means that was sent to you by the Magnificent Seven, the House Judiciary Committee on Criminal Law, which raises the issue as to the funding formula under Senate Bill 1145. So there is an appropriate vehicle for negotiation and discussion. And so it's not as though we have to create a bill out of whole cloth. There is a bill here.
Okay.
Which we would anxiously watch. I dare say the governor would have some conversation about whether he'd feel like signing this bill without a discussion about that other piece.
Thank you.
And I think that is correct. Representative Kozanski?
Mr. Chair, I guess I do have a comfort, and I guess at this point I would like to register a a vote of no and protest because it's 11.5 issue. I too was here when we looked at this issue, and what I simply remember was our obligation as a state to make certain that we paid for that program that was going to shift the responsibility from the state of these category of prisoners to the counties. And I'm on record here as well as in my own county telling the commissioners that if necessary, they may need to get the buses and bring the people up here if we weren't going to fund it appropriately. I understand there's going to be more discussion. I understand this budget will move today toward the full Ways and Means with the understanding there's going to be some discussion. But I, at this point, in good conscience, I would like to be able to put the, I guess, register the protest vote as to how the state seems to be falling short at this point based on the numbers that are before us as to the obligations I feel we have under the SB 1145 contract that we entered into with the county.
Mr. Chairman. I understand, Representative Jackson. See, last week it was Catherine's doing the protest vote. You know, this week
we trade off. We flip at him.
This prosecutor's thing.
We'll get something to you next
week. We got run over by a freight train today, so all right.
Representative Manning.
They're still picking the pieces out of him. Reference to a bill on the House floor relating to attorneys.
That's a round.
House Bill 2432 is the bill that I'm referencing, just so you have a number on it. As the person straight was asking me in the sidebar, it's 2432. What I like about that bill is it sets out a standard for how you determine the formula, and it gives a little more precision over time to how you can predict what the counties will get. That's up to the co-chairs as to how we would work that out with the governor.
Well, I think that's up to the co-chairs. I think that's up to leadership. I think that's up to the governor's office. And I think there's some interesting approaches to Senate Bill 555, which we have yet to get in our committee here, to where there could be some solutions to this issue. So it is far from the end of the discussion.
And, Mr. Chair, I'd like to contribute more than I can contribute. I'm just not that familiar with it. Leslie is much more familiar with it, what we did in 96 and so forth. We're spending $165 million in this program. We're talking about $5.5 million. You know, I've got to look at it and understand better where and how we fund more expensive ones. People on how we get to the median or what we're doing out there. I don't think we bring everybody up to the top of what it costs us, so we should do it ourselves. And so we have to work something out in regards to this, and I hope we can do that, Mr. Chair.
Representative Patrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm looking forward to further discussion on the 1145 money or what else goes on. I will be supporting this budget. I think that there's other discussions that can be had in regards to 1145, especially in light of the fact that we're not opening some of the wings at our various, or CODs, or whatever you want to say, at our various institutions as well in light of 1145. Had I been here when 1145 was adopted, I would not have voted for it. Unfortunately, I am here to deal with it today, so I think we do have some responsibility, but I'm comfortable moving forward at this point in time.
$775 million budget, and all we can talk about is $5 million. It's okay with me. Any further discussion? Representative Schrader.
Senator Hannon and the chair were looking at pre-construction savings. Is that in this, looks like in this budget?
There are some. The department came back after that little soliloquy we had that afternoon, and in working with Mr. Neiswender and myself, came up with, I can't remember how many dollars worth of savings, but we came up with quite a few dollars worth of savings, pre-construction savings.
Yes, Chair Westman, the actual amount of the other fund's expenditure limitation that was related to that was 4.89 in delayed pre-construction community development activities, as well as another 1.7 million in CLC finance construction teams. So between those two, it was close to $7 million.
Mr. Chairman,
just if I may put off. Well, then why is the governor's revised budget the same as that? I mean, that discussion came in after the governor's
2-4.
This is a reduction to the governor's revised budget. They were just plan changes that weren't made, nor savings realized until after the budget was presented to this committee.
Okay.
President Passage. Chair, I was just wondering if this budget would be an appropriate vehicle upon which to either give a veterinarian CLE credits for being in the legislature or increase the amount of CLE credits that were required by veterinarians.
I'll accept a motion.
They're not.
That's an inside out joke.
Mr. Chair, I may vote for you.
Yeah.
This is a woo for Zandon strategy.
Just for the record, my motion incorporates this June 7 memo, which we have in front of us, as the LFO chair recommendation. And I'd discreetly like to mention that 10 minutes ago I was asked to run down the rules for helping get a bill out.
I would discreetly like then to encourage any additional discussion on this before we hopefully move the bill, and I know there is some concern among several of our distinguished members up here, at least one of which has very graciously agreed to a courtesy vote, and I appreciate that individual's courtesy vote.
Actually, Mr. Chair, it's not a courtesy vote, it's a vote.
It's a vote.
Period, period. I express some discomfort that I'm voting for the bill.
Thank you very much, Senator Gordon. Any further discussion? I don't want to have to call the roll. I assume we have one no vote on this budget. Any other no votes on this budget?
Can I just ask whose it is?
One of the two representatives, can start with a P. Representative Representative Kozanski is the sole no vote.
Okay.
And Senator Hannon is absent, but it carries on both sides of the committee. And without any further discussion,
I would like to say that I look forward to voting for this and supporting this budget on the floor. I understand there will be some talk, but I feel like we just need to make sure that some of the uncomfort that a lot of us have is registered.
Okay. We have, but you're still in favor of adopting the amendments.
Yeah.
Okay. So the amendments are adopted unanimously. I'll now accept a recommendation, Representative
Mann. Mr. Chairman, I move that we refer the bill to the full committee with a due pass recommendation, incorporating these changes and incorporating the ultimate appropriation.
Appreciate that. I show one no vote. Continue. Can't convince you. No way. Let the record show Representative Kozanski is the lone no vote. And Central 5506 is moved to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Senate bill, we will let. If you were Hannon, and Hannon is here. Or you want Hannon here?
I'll carry it.
Senator Tim is the carrier on the in full committee and in the. Would you break this with carrying this?
On the Senate floor?
On the Senate
floor. No, the opposite.
And Representative Schrader will carry this on the...
Because I'm sure by that time we'll have a real problem.
And with that, we are adjourned. And we're going to get married.